I love this one from Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin once said to all the co-signers of the Declaration of Independence, he said, "Gentlemen, we must hang together, or assuredly we will hang separately." These guys, sometimes the goal of the team is critical for the signers of the Declaration of Independence. They were committing tyranny, treason. And if their goal, they didn't achieve their goal, they would literally be hanged. So our text this morning is about teamwork. So if you would stand with me, we'll look at our text. It's Romans chapter 15, verse 30 through 33. If you'll follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 30. "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to be here and study your word together. I thank you for it. I thank you for each one here who have given up their time to come to fellowship with like-minded believers to study your word. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time together, that you would speak to our hearts, that your Spirit will convict us, and that, Father, we will be more like Christ for it. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. After about 40 years, Jomo Kenyatta, the leader of the Kikuyu tribe, finally realized his dream. 40 years of struggling, and the dream was freedom. Jomo Kenyatta led the resistance against British rule, and as a result of his leadership, the country of Kenya gained their freedom, their independence, on December 12, 1963. The battle cry, Pamoja. Pamoja, Swahili word meaning together. Together we're strong. Together we can overcome the enemy. The battle cry was Pamoja, Pamoja. Together, together. And they gained their independence. So it is with the Christian life, with our walk, as we struggle to obey God, to do what he expects, to live and behave the way God expects us to live in this world. We need to be together. We need to do it together. And Pamoja should be our battle cry. What's happening in our text at this point in the book of Romans? Paul is on his way to where? Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Going to deliver something to them. Remember, the churches, the Gentile churches, have collected an offering for the church at Jerusalem. And Paul, before he goes to Rome and visits the church at Rome, he's going to go the opposite direction and deliver the offering to the church at Jerusalem. There's only one problem, though. What's the problem? There's some people in Jerusalem that don't like Paul. In fact, they hate him. And they want to see him dead. And they're planning to murder him. So he asks for prayers. Let's look at our text, verse 30 of Romans 15. And we're going to focus mostly on verse 30 this morning. "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together." Strive together. That's a phrase. It's two words in English, but in Greek, it's one compound word. In fact, the two words that are made up, that are used to make up this compound word are found frequently in Scripture, but this is the only time in Scripture that it's been put together It's a compound word. Strive together. The first word, first part of the compound word means to compete for a prize. Literally, it means to fight against an enemy. Let's look at a few places in Scripture where Paul uses that first part of this compound word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just turn to the right. Next book over. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Run to win. Play to win. It's scriptural. Verse 25, everyone who competes, the word competes there, that's the first part of this compound word, strive together, used in Romans 15:30. Everyone who competes in the games, to reference to the Greek games, exercises self-control in all things, those athletes. They then do it for the fun of it. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. Before they got gold medals, they got wreaths placed on their heads. Paul says here in Corinthians, but we, an imperishable. We're going to run the race for the prize. We're going to run to win. We're going to compete for an imperishable prize, an eternal reward. Same word. Same word Paul uses in 1 Timothy 6:12, where he encourages young Pastor Timothy to fight the good fight. Same word, compete, fight. Also in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7, where Paul then again writes to Timothy and talks about himself. Paul has fought the good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. Compete. Compete for a prize. Strive. Literally. Fight against an enemy. That's just the first part. Second part, pretty easy. It's union, together. Literally, it means partnership. So you put them together, and what do you got? You got to compete for a prize together. You got to fight together against the enemy. A little bit like teamwork. Isn't it? You with me? A little bit like teamwork, striving together. It's like Pomoja. Pomoja. Listen, Paul is about to step into the arena. He's about to go into hostile territory. This is something that Paul is used to doing. He doesn't mind doing it. Last week we talked a little bit about Paul going to Thessalonica. And how he got beat up there and chased out of town all the way to Berea. It was a common occurrence for the Apostle Paul on his missionary trips and journeys. In fact, if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, we just got through studying his first missionary journey. And in Lystra, remember what happened to Paul in Lystra? He shows up and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And folks from two towns over had followed him there. And they beat him, they stoned him, drug him out of the city and left him for dead. I mean, the whole purpose of stoning a man back then was to kill them. And they thought the job was finished and they left him for dead. And what happened in that hostile arena? Paul got up and returned. Can you imagine that? He got up and went back into the city. Finished his task, went on to the next city. And before he took the shortcut home, he went back to that city again. He continued. He returned. That's why Paul can say in 2 Timothy, I fought the good fight. Finished the course. Kept the faith. He steps into the arena and he's not going to shy away from Jerusalem. So it is with Jerusalem. It's hostile territory. It's an arena where he will go and people will hate him. Why do they hate him in Jerusalem? Because he used to be a Pharisee. A zealous, passionate Pharisee. Pharisee of Pharisees. Man, he was the one running and gunning for the new Christian church to stomp it out, to stamp it out, to snub it out, to persecute it. And now he is one. He's a traitor in their eyes. And they hate him for it. And yet he's going to love the church and love God and be obedient and climb back into the arena and go to Jerusalem and deliver the offering. That was Paul's hostile territory. What about us? Man, as we strive to be obedient, as we live as light in this dark and pagan world that we live in, if we're going to live the way God expects, there will be times we have to climb into an arena of hostile territory. What's your arena? What's that hostile arena that you climb into? Is it work? Is it your workplace? Is it your coworkers and your boss, your supervisor that gives you a hard time for living for Christ? There's conference meetings, business lunches, company parties. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's those family gatherings when you get with mom and dad or brother and sister or aunt and uncle. Anniversaries, birthdays, holidays, and you have these family gatherings and you're the only Christian in the group. And they give you a hard time. Hostile arena. Maybe it's your neighborhood. You know, there's that one not so nice neighbor. Criticizes you, picks on you, gives your kids a hard time. Maybe that's your hostile arena. Students, maybe it's your classroom. Maybe it's your teacher, your professor, your students. Listen, if we stand for Jesus Christ, we will be a target. You hear me? In this day and age, if we stand for Jesus Christ, we will be a target. If you live for Jesus Christ, you will be attacked. And then, man, if you proclaim Jesus Christ, you will be an enemy to some. But that's what's expected. That's what God expects us to do. To live obediently. To stand, to live, to proclaim Christ Jesus. That's the expectation. That's our mission. To return, to continue, to climb back into the arena day after day after day after day. It's tough, isn't it? Living a Christian life, living a godly Christian life, living obediently to Jesus Christ in this day and age is hard. It is tough. It is tough. It reminds me of a quote from one of our old presidents. Let me read that to you. Teddy Roosevelt, April 23rd, 1910. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again. Because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself for a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. Do you hear that? So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Isn't that awesome? Life is tough. Living a godly, holy life in this day and age is difficult. And we climb into the arena day after day after day. But let us dare greatly. As men and women of God, let us step into that arena, shining lights in a dark world. Fight the good fight. Compete for the eternal prize. Guess what? You can't do it alone. You can't do this alone, at least not for long. And the good news is you don't have to. Remember, the striving is together. Pamoja, pamoja, together, together. That's the battle cry, isn't it? That should be our battle cry. It's like the athletes, they have that chant, don't they? You've seen the athletes, teams get together, and before they take the field, before they get into the arena, man, they all huddle up, they get arm in arm, and they stick one hand together, and they say one, two, three, and then they say a chant or something, don't they? One, two, three, beat Farragut. One, two, three, beat Florida. Something, don't they? And we as a church body, as a team, we need to chant. Our battle cry needs to be Pamoja. Pamoja. Together. Together. Man, we each have to go into the arenas day in and day out. But we don't have to do it alone. We can do it together. Isn't that great? That's awesome. We run the race together. We're partners. We're family. You remember, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. You remember that? That's the whole importance of all that we've been learning. To edify one another. Carrying each other. To encourage one another. Cheer for each other. Exhorting. Coaching. Instructing. Teaching each other. Admonishing one another. Helping each other get back on track. Accountability, helping each other get on the right track or stay on the right track. There is strength in Pamoja. There's strength in teamwork and striving together. So what's our biggest weapon in striving together and working together as a team? Let's look back at our text in Romans 15, verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your what? Prayers. Paul's asking for prayers. He didn't tell the churches, the church in Rome, rally the troops, saddle up the horses, round up a posse. What does he say? How can the church at Rome strive together, fight together the enemy, Satan, and his evil in this world? How can they strive together with the Apostle Paul as Paul goes to Jerusalem? Prayer. Paul says, pray. Is there power in prayer? It depends. You know what it depends on? Who we're praying to. Who I'm praying to makes a difference. The power is in the one we pray to. If I'm praying to the Almighty God, the one true living God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of true Christianity, absolutely there's power in that prayer. There's power in our prayers because there's power in the God we pray to. We pray to God Almighty, the great I am, the creator and sustainer of life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 tells us that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Can you imagine that? You directly access to God Almighty. That blows me away that we can even do that. That we have direct access to God Almighty. The same God who hung the stars and parted the Red Sea and gave the Israelites manna from heaven, you and me can approach that throne, his throne. Is there power in prayer? The prayer to God Almighty, the prayer to Yahweh, absolutely. And you know what blows me away? Not only that we can approach God directly, but that he listens. That he listens to us. He cares for us. And he answers us. Man, is that a privilege and an honor? Absolutely. Our biggest weapon in striving together is prayer. Well, since our greatest weapon in this striving together, this fighting the enemy together, is prayer, what should we do? We should pray. We should pray more. We need to pray more for each other, don't we? We need to pray together. Do we pray together? It starts at home. Husbands, wives, do you pray together? I encourage you. I challenge you. Husband, go to your wife tonight. Before your eyes go to sleep, ask your wife to pray with, to pray together. Out loud. That's power. That's pomoja. Families, pray together. Make it a habit in your family. Husbands and wives, parents, take your children at night and pray with them. Take 30 minutes, turn the TV off. Block it in your schedule. Before everybody goes to get, I don't care if they're 2 years old or 22 years old. If they're in your house, gather them together and let us strive together as a family and pray together. Hey, what are the concerns of the family? What are our stresses? You got concerns and stresses, don't you? Who doesn't these days? Come together as a family and pray. Pray for each other. And there is power in that, striving together. And pray for the church. Let us come together. There's a whole room dedicated for this. We have a prayer room here. Come pray. And you don't have to go to a room. There's no special room. We need to pray together more. While I have Swahili on my mind, since I'm leaving for Kenya in a few weeks, bear with me. There's a number of Swahili words for praying. One is piga magoti, and that literally means hit your knees. And I like that. Piga magoti, hit your knees. There's a song by Jackie Velasquez, I believe it's her, that says, there's power when I'm on my knees. And the point is, man, when I am on my knees and when I am praying to God Almighty, I get power. And that's true. And we need to be on our knees more. We need to spend more time as a church on our knees and less time worrying about things, arguing and gossiping and fussing and criticizing. And we need to come together. Pomoja, piga magoti. Let's come together and pray and spend more time on our knees for each other. You know, it is hard to stay angry at somebody you're praying for. I've tried it. Because we're commanded to love one another, and just reality is we don't really always, you know, we just don't always like each other sometimes. But we still are commanded to love each other. And sometimes people may frustrate you. When that happens, you get on your knees and you pray for them. And your attitude will change for them. That's why God says pray for our enemies, right? There's power in prayer to Yahweh. Well, let's note one more thing in verse 30. What's the bond here? What's the glue? What is the bond that holds us together as we come together and keep together and work together? Note the little word by, B-Y. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and And he says, another one, by the love of the Spirit. What holds us together? Our common bond in Jesus Christ. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. You are my brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters. We have a common bond in Jesus Christ. That's what holds us together. With all our different personalities, likes and dislikes and opinions, and all that's great. But we're held together by our common bond in Jesus. And by love. The love that God has lavishly poured upon us through his Holy Spirit, that as true born-again believers and dwells in me, that love, it's through that love, it's by that love that I can overcome all the differences. And I can wrap my arms around all the different personalities. And as a family, we can love each other. And we can strive together in prayer. And we can fight the good fight together. And we can keep the faith together. Verse 32, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. You know, Paul plans to go to Rome, visit the church at Rome. We looked at his planning, his reasonings, his desires. He gets to Rome. The Apostle Paul gets to Rome one day, but it's in chains as a prisoner. Prisoner. He gets to Rome. Things happen in Jerusalem. We'll cover those on Wednesday night in our study through Paul. They get their hands on him. When he's in the arena, you risk that when you serve others and you love others and you climb into the arena day by day. And Paul was bound, imprisoned, and he gets to Rome, and God blesses. Guys, we're in a fight. We're in the fight for the souls of people. God has entrusted us with that mission. Go make disciples. You know, it's like rowing a boat. You get a bunch of people in a boat. I went to camp one year, and they had a big boat, and you can go on an overnight boat trip. And this is like the ginormous canoe that I've ever seen. And we had like 20 or 30 kids in this canoe, and we all got a paddle. And they said, okay, start rowing. Guess what happened with 20, 30 seventh graders? Water was splashing and going everywhere, paddling in different directions and different frequencies. And you know what? We're working up a sweat and we're not going anywhere. Then there was one guy at the head of the canoe, and he explained, if we can all just row together at the same time in the same direction, if you just keep your eyes on me, keep following me, we will get there. And the better we do at rowing together in unison, the same frequency, stroke, the faster we'll make it to the goal. It's the same way with us as individuals and as a church. We're in a fight. We have to climb into the arena. But guys, we don't have to do it ourselves. We can do it pamoja, together. Let's stand. As we close with a word of prayer, I'd like you to join hands. Join hands first, then bow your hands. No, switch that. Join hands, bow your heads. Let's pray together. All across the auditorium, let's connect hands. We don't do this kind of stuff much. Man, we're a family. And now I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes.